Hello, my name is Michael, and you're listening to Forever Sound Version, a video game music podcast. Hello again, this is Michael, and today I have the great distinction of being joined by my good friend and, let's say, a veteran podcaster of video games.
Oh, yeah, that might be a stretch. It's true in a sense, I suppose.
I think we can say it.
Yeah,
this is my friend John.
Pleased to meet you.
How are you doing, John? What's going on?
Yeah, not much. I mean, I don't think I could be anything but hyped after hearing that title theme music.
It doesn't get much better than that. Yeah. It's a good piece. So, all right, we're going to be covering the music from Street Fighter 2.
Yeah.
Not a stretch to say that it's one of the most legendary game franchises or games of all time.
I mean, it's like genre defining in many ways, as I think a lot of people who are listening will know. I mean, without Street Fighter 2 specifically, you wouldn't have Tekken, Virtua Fighter, Guilty Gear, Blaze Blue, and so on and so on and so on. So it's a pretty important series.
Yes, and it cut its teeth, crucially, in the arcade. So, I mean, I suppose Tekken, etc. have also cut their teeth in the arcade.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Street Fighter 2 was a phenomenon, nothing short of a phenomenon. So originally released in 1991 by Capcom of Japan. And of course, this being a music podcast, we're going to be focusing on the music principally composed by Yoko Shimomura. Now, what was especially notable about the soundtrack for this series of games, the Street Fighter 2 games, is that rather than having like generic songs just, you know, to play on certain levels across the duration of the game, individual characters had their own songs, themes. So perhaps you could go as far as say that's kind of why the soundtrack is as enduring as it is.
Absolutely.
For the simple fact that people associate the music with the characters and the characters with the music,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and I mean, like Street Fighter 2, I mean, everyone knows the cast of characters from that game, right? You got Ryu and Ken, obviously, and then like Dalsim, Chun-Li, Guy, like all these really diverse, iconic characters, and I think the music's like no small part in that.
Absolutely, right, yeah. Right. So I think as we go through a bunch of the different themes, we can start like, you know, flagging up perhaps, you know, why certain pieces were well suited to certain characters.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Certain kinds of signifiers and motifs are are deployed. Sometimes it's quite funny the way it's handled, but for the most part, it just makes for an absolutely fantastic accompaniment to what is a very gratifying game to play, you know.
Yeah.
Legendarily smooth, you know, a wealth of specials, but not too many specials.
No.
You know, it was complex without being cluttered, right?
Sure, absolutely. That's... I mean, it introduced by accident stuff like combos. Like in the first version of the game, they didn't plan for combos to be a thing, but certain players who, you know, went to the arcade very frequently kind of figured out they could trap people into sets of moves and stuff, and then in later versions they refined that and actually made it a system. Like, yeah, there's just so much depth there. But yeah, as you were saying, a couple special moves per character, you know, something you can learn in an afternoon and it endures, you know.
Sure. So let's briefly touch on the composer herself. I mean, I say principally composed by Shimomura because she didn't do absolutely all of the themes we're going to hear. And indeed, for various ports, different sound engineers for different consoles were on hand to, you know, port the music over, so to speak.
Sure.
But I mean, you can't talk about the music of Street Fighter 2 without talking about Yoko Shimomura from Capcom, who then went on to Square.
Yeah. currently is, right?
She is. Yeah. She is still there, of course. And the list of games she's worked on is extensive, to say the least. But I want to pick your brain about something that's reasonably topical, not to date this show too much, but
right.
Final Fantasy 15.
Yes.
It's happening.
It's very soon.
Delayed, I understand.
For the best, I think.
Yeah.
There's a lot of gameplay footage out there. It's looking pretty rough and choppy, but the core of the game's looking pretty promising.
I think
very,
so too.
Yeah. I would say very promising. Yeah.
And this week was we got our first taste of what the Shimomura soundtrack.
Sure, I mean, we've heard bits of it before. There's been a couple of demos, a couple of trailers with her stuff in, but
okay.
I think there's a big 50-minute chunk of gameplay, loads of great theme stuff, Like, there's a new battle theme that was debuted that I think's really cool. And then my favorite so far is the menu music. Just, like, totally nails that classic Final Fantasy.
Yeah, right.
It's kind of, like, very inspired by, like, the Prelude theme, I would say.
Well, absolutely, but yeah. it doesn't seem too crowbarred in. It's just
it just sounds...
like a little nod, right?
It sounds, like, really comforting. But the menu music, I don't know, obviously nostalgia plays in that a great deal, but I don't know. I think she's really nailed the tone of what that series used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really exciting.
Yeah, so we're talking about a particularly, can we say, adaptable composer? You know,
absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
this is a far cry from Street Fighter 2, which is for the most part like it's a fighting game.
Yeah.
You know, apart from in certain
there's
characters'
one
endings,
that she's trying to
for the most part. I mean, we'll see that that's not entirely true with some of the ending themes.
Yeah.
But for the most part, that is true. Whereas with Final Fantasy 15, I mean, like, how do you follow an act like, you know, the likes of Uematsu, you know?
Sure, yeah.
I mean, the emotional, like, breadth we're talking about with this series is enormous, so...
I'm not a Kingdom Hearts fan, just by virtue of the fact that I haven't played them, but I think she's up to the task of Kingdom Hearts fans, I believe.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, I'm encouraged by what I've been hearing, so... Yeah. Just thought we better mention that because, you know, I'm looking forward to it. It's kind of why I'm very likely to get back into the realm of console gaming, you know, after a bit of an absence.
Sure, and of course, Street Fighter V.
Oh yes, yeah. Street Fighter V. Well, since we mentioned it, I think we'd be quite remiss if we didn't talk about what we've been doing in recent months.
Sure,
It endures as a party game, I guess. You know, it's a different, of course, a different title to Street Fighter 2, but...
The basics are all there.
Exactly, you know? The basics are all there. So, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, first time we did a tournament, I sunned you.
You destroyed me. Like, it wasn't even close. He played as his old favourite, Ken.
Ken's my man.
And, yeah.
I'm Ken all day.
I didn't have a leg to stand on, but, you know, I hit the dojo. Like, if I was Ryu, I'd be punching a waterfall somewhere in the wilderness for the past few months. But instead, I just played, you know, cut my teeth online. Learn some cool stuff, and I think I'm unbeatable now. I would go as far as say untouchable.
You did beat me. there we go. We're going to put your details in the program notes and make sure you get some challenges.
Someone absolutely destroys me online. Yeah, I'm not too great online.
I mean, yeah, you sunned me fairly thoroughly in that second tournament, but yeah. I mean, you know, it's still like...
I also have the console to practice on every day.
Well, you know, I'm not going to make excuses for myself. I was outplayed, and it was your birthday party, so it's not like
everyone threw the fights for me, I think.
Right, yeah, just keep... Yeah, that's very, very modest of you. Anyway, yeah, so... Let's get some more music. I think we'll get into some more tracks and then we'll talk about some more bits and bats to do with the game.
Yeah.
We're going to hear music from the CPS-1 original Street Fighter 2. And the CPS-1, that's Capcom Play System. That's the their kind of flagship arcade board at that time. It incorporates the Yamaha YM2151 chip, which is for FM synthesis, not a million miles away from the kind of thing that the Sega Mega Drive was gunning with, and also an MSM2695 chip, which was for the PCM samples that we all know and love. For example, Tiger, 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 Hadouken, you know what I'm talking about. So, CPS-1, Street Fighter 2, The World Warrior, we're going to hear Ryu's theme and Ken's theme.
All right.
just heard Ryu's theme and Ken's theme from the original CPS1 arcade version of Street Fighter 2, The World Warrior. And I don't know, man. There are only so many superlatives you can throw at something as inspiring as that pair of tunes.
Yeah.
Probably the two. I mean, I suppose Guile's up there too, but
well, we'll get to that later.
certainly among the more recognised and iconic pieces of music in the games, right? So, I mean, what are you taking from these two?
We were chatting about them while they were playing, and I've got to agree with what you were saying. Ken's theme screams 80s action movie hero, right? You can imagine,
it does.
A VHS next to an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, just with Ken, like, winking at you
on the
front. Pointing at you, pointing at the sun, pointing at whatever you want.
That's it, man, that's it. Like, and it's, you know, it's kind of bombastic, but it's in, like, it's not in an entirely, like, rock and roll, like, bravado way.
No.
I mean, he is, like, the bravado character in many ways. But I think, I've got cinematic insofar as it's got, like, really palpable dynamics in it. You know, it's got fleeting troughs to go with the peaks, but, you know, troughs nonetheless, right? So you have that contrasting quiet part right before it explodes again.
Yeah, right before he does a Shoryuken.
And then there's Ryu's theme, which similarly heroic in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Ken's theme is undoubtedly a heroic sounding tune overall. But Ryu's is more of a, you know, urgent, like very busy, you know, a lot of stuff going on percussion wise, right?
I mean, you could see it as a stereotypical Japanese martial artist type, reserved, dignified, and then Ken, bombastic action movie from America, right?
Exactly.
You could take it like that, I think.
I think you can, yeah, definitely. That's fair. So I should mention that these two particular tracks are from CPS1's version of The World Warrior, and they were released relatively recently, or re-released after a remastering job done by a label called Brave Wave, and this is available on their Bandcamp page. They released it on vinyl.
Oh, cool.
Sold out, unfortunately, but if you're listening, you got to repress that, because your boy wants one.
Yeah. Right?
CDs, I have that. It's, you know, this is all beautiful stuff, like it's complete with, you know, artwork and you know, liner notes, all the rest.
Awesome.
And digital download, of course. This is sourced from the actual CPS hardware, so they had sound engineers working on taking the tunes off the original arcade boards and sprucing them up a whole lot. If you listen to Brave Wave's Wavelength podcast, which is especially good on the topic of this soundtrack, you'll get many more details about the technical intricacies of lifting the music off. But just take it from me, it's a special item. It's got every character theme, every, you know, the title theme, character select. It's got the nearly knocked out faster version of all the themes. It's got all the endings. And as well as CPS1, it's got the CPS2 arcade boards versions as well. We're actually talking over a CPS2 unused theme. So what you're hearing is Street Fighter 2 music, but no one ever heard it. I guess.
Almost the deepest of deep cuts.
It's pretty deep.
I think we've got something a bit deeper.
You want deep cuts, you've come to the right place. But this
the phrase bottom of the barrel could also apply.
Oh man, I bet they can't wait for the rest of the show. Right, so, I don't know, man, like, fantastic, fantastic music. We'll hear some more arcade music from the CPS2 later on. For now, let's get onto some ports, because this is how you and I first encountered the game, I guess, is that right?
Through ports, yeah, I would say so, yeah.
So what was your first one that you played?
It would have been the Mega Drive version at my friend's house. To be honest, I'm going to sound like a total fake being on this podcast.
No, it's fine.
But my first experience with Street Fighter was X-Men versus Street Fighter for PlayStation 1.
Mm.
Massive Marvel Comics fan.
Mm-hmm.
Got really into that. Threw my first fireballs on that, my first Hadoukens. Soon realised that I enjoyed playing as the Street Fighter characters more than the X-Men. Which, for, you know, for like a 8-9-year-old who was obsessed with Marvel, that was a hard thing to admit.
Yeah, didn't see that coming.
But yeah, definitely not. Marvel vs. Capcom and Marvel vs. Capcom 2 after that. Mm. And then my first fully fledged Street Fighter was 4, which was quite late on, like 2008 maybe?
I guess so,
but,
yes.
You know, I'd definitely played bits and pieces of the others here and there.
Mm.
Friends, houses, arcades, that kind of thing.
friends' houses. That's the environment.
of course.
That's how these things get started for people our age. Like, my first was, again, my friend's house. He had Street Fighter 2 Turbo, and Capcom, I don't know, I think it was actually like the manga company itself like issued like a Street Fighter 2 comic, right?
Was it Udon or something like that?
I couldn't tell you. I can't remember, but there is, it was like early mid-90s, I think, and I saw Street Fighter 2 comics, so it was already sort of in my head that Street Fighter 2 was this cool thing, like tangentially related to video games, or no, directly related to video games. What am I saying? And then I thought, well, alright, there's a game. And then my friend who lived up the road from me, in this village in County Durham, actually had Street Fighter 2 Turbo for the Super Nintendo, and that was my first experience of it. And then that led to all sorts of like playground nonsense. You know how exactly? Yeah. So
playing tennis balls on fire.
I don't know what it was like in your end of Durham, John, but we had, you know, things like you'd play like Power Rangers at dinner time and all that sort of thing. You know. Everyone argues over who's going to be the red and pink Rangers, and and then that turned into Street Fighter 2 for a time. We'd play Street Fighter 2 at break times. I can't remember who I was. Probably. I
mean,
that could be why.
That could explain everything.
It could explain
not just
everything.
About
you,
not just about who you pick at Street Fighter.
Yeah, because just my general egotistical demeanor. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, Street Fighter 2. On the SNES, that's what we're going to start with. I think that was the first console port, actually, so I think it would make a lot of sense to go there next. First port to the SNES in 92 was Street Fighter 2 The World Warrior. Then came Street Fighter 2 Turbo in 93, which is the one I played. And then finally, Super Street Fighter 2 The New Challengers in 1994. So what we're going to hear is... one track from Street Fighter 2 Turbo. We're going to hear E. Honda's theme, or Edmund Honda's theme,
I really can't believe.
Incredibly. And also Super Street Fighter 2 The New Challengers. We're going to hear Fei Long's theme, since he was one of the four new challengers. These are two tracks that I think really benefit from the SNES hardware, so check these out. This is E. Honda on Street Fighter 2 Turbo and Fei Long on Super Street Fighter 2 The New Challengers.
Alright. We'll be right back.
We just had E Honda's theme from Street Fighter 2 Turbo and Fei Long's theme from Super Street Fighter 2, the new challenges, both of which were released on the Super Nintendo Entertainment System in 93 and 94, respectively.
Nice.
Good themes.
Yeah, I think the Fei Long one made me want to become a Fei Long player.
Oh.
Yeah. I was very, very impressed.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good tune, that one, yeah. I mean, E Honda's is a bit more, I wouldn't say placid, but a bit more slice, maybe.
Sure, yeah, sure. I mean, like, going back to the general theme of the show, you know, I think it's very much playing at the character's nationality.
Yes.
Things like that. There's a lot of that.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. I'm gonna touch on that, actually. Both of these tracks do make some pretty heavy use of pentatonic scales, which are, you know, five-note scales categorized by, you know, the compact melodies they produce and the larger intervals between notes, which provide a certain sense of drama to the melody, you know. And you know, these scales happen to be quite common in the traditional music of like Far East countries, including Japan. So I would assume that they're riffing on that.
Absolutely,
you know. So I mean, E Honda's theme, you have the sort of the arpeggiating marimba-esque sort of sound. That's playing pentatonic scales. The bass line is playing pentatonic scales. The melody is playing pentatonic scales. It's all like five note scales, keeping it really compact. And Fei Long's theme, with the introduction of those really gritty, distorted guitars.
Oh man, I love a good fake guitar. Like, it doesn't get any better.
The SNES handles it in a very different way to the Mega Drive. Like the Mega Drive, some people hate fake guitars on the Mega Drive for being, you know, because it's not sampled, it's synthesized.
Those people haven't played Phantasy Star 4. That's all I'm gonna say.
It can be a beautiful thing, I would say. But yeah, I mean, it's something else. So, I mean, of course, like, you know, in like hard rock and heavy metal music, pentatonic scales are the order of the day,
of course,
oftentimes. Yeah, yeah. So there's a sort of a nice, comfy combination going on there for Fei Long's theme. It's got the nod towards him being from Hong Kong.
Yep.
And like, you know, a rock and roll, you know, film star kind of thing, because he is a film star. That's his occupation. Of course, it's ideal, really.
I mean, he's a pretty obvious Bruce Lee knockoff, Fei Long.
Very transparent.
Yeah.
To the extent where they couldn't include him in the Street Fighter film because they were scared of being sued.
Yeah, sure.
Like, he's the only character who doesn't feature because he's just Bruce Lee. We can't put him in a film. You know?
They got Balrog in there, though.
True. Yep. Yeah, true.
But,
true.
You know.
SNES Sound Hardware incorporates the SPC-700 and 64 kilobytes of RAM for sample-based music. This is a fun thing for myself. You know, I've ripped samples from Street Fighter 2 ROMs on the SNES, and I've played them using like a virtual instrument version of that sound chip, which is the C700. I'll do it. I will share a link to my effort at making some Street Fighter music using this SNES emulation. It's got sounds from like Guile's theme and Dal Sim's theme and things like that.
Yes.
So I don't know, I encourage anyone to play about with this stuff, you know, reimagine the soundtrack. Oh, let's get into some murky waters now. What do you think?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay.
We get into the US gold.
Oh, you
territory.
Said it.
Oh.
You said the dirty word.
Yeah.
You've opened Pandora's box now, John. Street Fighter 2 was also ported to some home computers by US Gold.
Yeah. US Gold, from the name, sounds like an American company, right?
But I believe they were British.
From Birmingham.
From Birmingham,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
The reason they're called US Gold is because the main reason they were started was to publish American games in the UK.
Mm.
So,
clever name.
That was the focus, yeah.
Clever name. Unfortunately, many of these games were absolutely dreadful.
Yeah.
Like, not many people have too many nice things to say about US Gold.
When they tended to port Japanese ones, they're kind of notorious. Like, all of them. All of the, like, they did, like, a version of Mega Man for the Game Boy or something.
Right.
That people aren't very impressed with. Yeah. Weren't very impressed with. And then, of course, Street Fighter 2, which is...
They'd get licenses, they'd follow the money,
yeah,
and they'd
yeah.
annoy people no end
yeah.
with their inept ports. You know,
sure.
That seems to be their... prevailing legacy.
Yeah.
Street Fighter 2 is no exception. We're gonna...
Ludicrous.
Actually, I mean, there are actually two versions of Street Fighter 2 for the Amiga. There was the original World Warrior, and then they did a port of the New Challengers as well. The New Challengers is not too bad from what I've encountered.
Right.
It's not too bad. The original one, you know... So one of Street Fighter 2's strengths is like how smooth the animations are and how intuitive the controls are.
Yeah, I mean, it's
no.
essential
no,
for
they,
the game.
No, they don't get it right in the Amiga
yeah.
version. Nevertheless, there is some... I mean, I like the music on the original Amiga version. So like we've said, Shimomura is the original composer of most of the pieces on Street Fighter 2. However, for the US Gold ports, a composer named Dave Lowe took the reins, and he essentially composed some reimagined versions of a handful of the tracks. So you're not getting like exact ports of the tracks, so to speak, where it's just nudged over to a different system. You're getting some kind of modified versions of the songs, which is interesting, you know? So let's get into these ones. We're going to hear some tracks from Street Fighter 2, The World Warrior, the first one on the Amiga. We're going to hear track one, which we'll recognize as being something like Ken's theme. And then we'll hear track six, which we'll recognize as being something like Balrog's theme.
All right. We'll be right back.
right, we just had track 1 and track 6 from the soundtrack of the Amiga version of Street Fighter 2, The World Warrior, from 1992. I'm looking at my idiot sheet, my notes here, and I have a one-word sentence. Rocking.
Yeah, I think that's very accurate.
Rocking.
I think that's a pretty good descriptor.
Both of them.
Yeah, a lot of really great sound and bass. Like the actual sound of the instrument itself.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Amiga's noted for having some, you know, particularly nice samples used in many of their games. You know, it's very popular with, you know, demo scene composers, you know, like hobbyists making music.
Yeah, I can imagine. It sounds really, really nice.
Yeah.
The actual songs themselves, not bad.
Sure. Yeah, Dave Lowe, you did a good job, my friend.
Yeah.
It's really hard to tell, like, why it's different.
Yeah.
I don't believe there's any real reason for it to be different.
Budget constraints, like, it's impossible to know back then. Like, it was the Wild West of game development in those times.
US Gold was like Billy the Kid.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, man.
No doubt.
Broke-ass US Gold.
So compared to... I mean, we've already heard Ken's theme, the original CPS-1 version. So compared to the original, this version's slower, a little slower, and a bit heavier for it.
Definitely,
right?
Definitely.
Like a bit more kind of grinding, right? So it's definitely got a heavier feel. And then the Balrog's theme, you know, the melody, like the lead part is fairly stripped back, you know, so again, it's like, it's simpler in a different kind of way. So overall, it's kind of trading in flamboyance for more aggression, really.
Yeah, sure. Which, like, you know, fits the title.
Street Fighter. It works.
Yeah.
It works quite well. So, going to another home computer port, there was a version of Street Fighter 2 for the Commodore 64.
Mm.
And we've been playing it today, haven't we, John?
Yeah, man. So, there's one attack button.
Mm-hmm.
What was the name? Fire?
Fire,
I believe.
Yeah.
Is the title of the move.
Fire.
Yeah, it was rough, man.
Yeah.
It was not a good game.
It doesn't look anything... really, it doesn't. I mean, recognize the backdrop.
If I had a C64 and this was my first exposure to Street Fighter, I'd never want to play Street Fighter ever again.
But here's the thing: like, people were going to arcades back in the day, and they didn't have consoles.
That's true. Yeah.
At that point, I mean, maybe, you know, the SNES port would have existed in 92.
Sure, yeah.
But they would have thought, well, we've only got like a C64 or a Speccy. There was a Speccy version of this, a ZX
Ludicrous.
Spectrum version of Street Fighter 2. And I went, well, I guess that's the one we have to get. And they were paying serious money for these versions.
Yeah.
How gutted must they have been?
Games weren't cheap then. I mean, they're not cheap now, but they especially weren't in the early 90s.
It's really crazy to think this was ported to the C64. And it's kind of more than anything, it's just a curio, really. It's
definitely.
They really did
that. Well, it's worth seeing.
Yeah.
We
had two rounds and went, nah.
just like the basics of, like, you can't crouch and throw out a move,
or
for
block
example.
Or anything.
There's nothing to it.
Yeah. And then there's real comedy bits where, like, I was playing against a computer opponent and they were Zangief and I was Guile, and, like, they got stuck mid-jump and they were just like, it was like levitating Zangief just floating in the air, and I'm just like repeatedly sonic booming him from a distance.
Sure.
Like, this is Street Fighter 2.
Yep.
You know, this is Street... This is apparently Street Fighter 2. Astonishing. That said, again, the music, not bad at all for my money.
Definitely.
I'm a fan of the SID chip in the C64 anyway. Again, it's Dave Lowe responsible for the music here. We're going to hear track 1, which we recognise as the player select music, which for some reason plays during fights. I don't know. It does.
Yeah.
And then we're going to hear track 3, which we'll recognize as Ryu's theme.
Let's do this.
Okay, we just heard track 1 and track 3 from the Commodore 64. We recognize those as being the player select music from Street Fighter 2.
Yep.
And a version of Ryu's theme. What do you make of these?
I like the Ryu's theme quite a bit. I like the... I don't know what instrument it was supposed to be mimicking. The very
the high pitched tone thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was pretty funny. Yeah. But, you know, the essence of Ryu's theme still there.
I think so, sure. Yeah. I mean, it is a different composition and different collection of voices, but it still has the urgency to it.
Yeah.
Right? It's, you know, it's still propulsive, sure, as man. A result of the, you know, the noise channel on that ship,
you've
I believe.
You've been punching waterfalls all year and you're just ready. You're just ready, your face can.
Yeah, just completely focused.
That's what
yeah.
that song says to me, at least.
And, I mean, the player select music, I mean, it, as I said, it doesn't play in the player select screen that I remember. It plays during fights.
Right. But it doesn't matter because you'll never play this game. You don't need to.
So if you're curious, I don't know, maybe if you want to know what it looks like and if you don't believe me, I invite you to get a ROM.
People talk about bad ports these days and like bad ports these days of games, like there's a couple of frame rate drops here and there. Not like you can't block it in Street Fighter.
It's
sobering.
Wow, what a game. I mean, the loading times as well. I mean, I was running this on a C64 emulator and I had to put warp mode on pretty much constantly. It's
20 minutes?
Yeah, it's a long time. Yeah. And you have to change tapes sometimes as well to load different characters.
20 minutes to mash one attack button and hope you throw out a move.
Completely absurd. There are also versions on a couple of other home computers. We had a version on the Atari ST, if you're prepared to regard that as a home computer. And there was a DOS version as well. I've seen bits and bats on YouTube. The soundtracks didn't inspire me all that much, but again, kind of alongside the Spectrum, kind of astonishing that it got on so many like disparate systems. I suppose they were following the money.
Sure, yeah. Like you were saying before, popular in arcades, you at an arcade all day or for a couple of hours, you're like, I need this.
Yeah.
I have this system, so I need, it's the only one I can buy, you know.
People went for it. Who are people?
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the warm, comforting realm of console versions.
Yes.
So let's go back there. I'm going to go into a version here that I never played because I never had a TurboGrafx-16 or a PC engine. We didn't have all that many of them in the UK.
No, it was more of a Japanese thing, especially PC
That's it, yeah. So it's effectively the same machine, but sort of the American version, which is the TG-16, different, yeah.
Yeah.
The sound chip, you know, it consists of 6 wavetable synth channels, and in the right hands, this chip's capable of some like really decent video game music.
Sure, I'm pretty sure like the Castlevania Rondo of Blood or something. I'm sure the PC version, PC Engine version of that soundtrack's pretty revered.
Yeah,
if memory serves.
Similarly, there are a lot of fans of this port of Street Fighter 2 as well. It's quite a popular version among the several soundtracks of Street Fighter 2. It's from 1993. And we're going to hear Zangief's theme, which we've recently learned is Zangief, not Zangief.
Yeah, Armika calls him Zangief. Zangief.
And
you got to trust Armika.
Well, it's Zangief then, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're going to hear
Zangief. She's number one fan, she'd know.
You wouldn't get his name wrong. We'll hear Zangief's theme, and then we'll have an ending track, Ryu's ending. Now, the thing about this wavetable synthesis business is it's quite buzzy, so it's not like FM synth where everything's really sharp. And it's not samples where everything's sort of warm and kind of pseudo-real sounding. Mm. It's a different thing altogether. So I picked Zangief's theme because the sort of like slow, gritty, kind of bass-heavy nature of the track, I think kind of complements this buzzy sound on the wavetable synths. See for yourself, though. We're going to hear Zangief's theme and then Ryu's ending.
All right.
TurboGrafx-16 / PC Engine's version of the Street Fighter 2 soundtrack.
Yeah.
We just heard Zangief's theme and Ryu's ending. And you have a nugget of trivia about Zangief, John.
I do. Let's bring up the correct name.
Enlighten me.
Yeah, so...
The correct name.
When he was originally created, I don't know if this name ever came to market in any region. If it did... Maybe the original arcade release in Japan maybe had this name, but it was originally conceived as Vodka Gobolski.
Vodka Gobolski. Yeah.
Which is, you know, Street Fighter deals in stereotypes, right?
To a degree.
This one's a little rough.
A little too far, perhaps.
Like, similarly...
He was Russian, by the way.
Yeah. Super Punch-Out had a character, the home console version in America and I assume Japan. The character was called Soda Popinski.
Oh, that's nice.
And in the arcade version, Vodka Drunkensky.
Oh, right. So the
Drunkensky.
So
they
went, for Punch Out, we can do it. Yeah. Like, we can make him an alcoholic. It's fine.
Sure. Yeah, it's totally fine in the arcades. Yeah. But at home.
No.
You don't drink at home, son.
It's got to be. You got to make Street Fighter 2 wholesome for the home consoles.
Vodka Drunkensky.
So there you go. Brilliant. Ryu's ending theme, probably my favorite. Of any Street Fighter 2 ending theme.
Sure.
But bittersweet, you know.
Yeah, I think the ending's got a very powerful message.
It has. Yeah. So chances are you'll have seen this a million times, but in case you haven't, the deal is he defeats M. Bison, of course, and then the ending starts with a ceremony where there's a podium, you know, 1, 2, and 3. Sagat's at number 3, Bison's at number 2, but number 1 there's nobody there, and the crowd are all whispering, where is the champion? Where's Ryu?
They want to see him, they want to bask in his glory.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah, they want to celebrate him. And then it changes shot to Ryu walking alone, you know, off by himself, you know, away from the ceremony, because to him it's meaningless.
Sure, man.
All he cares about is the battle, and he's looking for his next challenger.
Sure, he's a very disciplined man. I think we can all learn from that ending.
Oh no, it's beautiful.
Don't
so.
Rest on your laurels.
Absolutely perfect music for it.
Yeah.
So, beautiful. Yeah, we'll be hearing more ending music later. There's another couple of themes, or ending themes, that I think are particularly notable. Again, TG16, surprisingly robust sound on this soundtrack, considering, let's be honest, like the 6 wavetable channels can't quite measure up to the technical capacity of like the CPS arcade boards and... Even the SNES and the Mega Drive, like it was like kind of one league lower.
Yeah.
But it works, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, especially with Zangief's theme, it's kind of a little bit gnarly, you know.
You can imagine Gorbachev getting down to that.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, Mr. President. Excellent stuff.
Yep.
So let's go to the version that started it all for you, I suppose, in terms of playing Street Fighter 2, and probably the version I played the most as well when I was younger. The 1993 version on the Mega Drive, the Special Champion Edition. Possibly my favourite port overall. I don't know, that changes from week to week. But, you know, I've got a lot of happy memories attached to it. We're going to hear Guile's theme. How could we not play it?
Yeah.
How could we not play Guile's theme?
Guile's theme is one of those things where, you know, everyone raves about it. It's very cliche to be in love with Guile's theme, but I think it's for an excellent reason.
It's entirely warranted,
yeah, it's 100% warranted. It's a wonderful song.
It's not so much a thing anymore, although for a time there was the Guile's theme song goes with everything
kind of
YouTube meme type thing, where there's a shot of, you know, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air where Uncle Phil's like the pool hustler.
Oh, yeah.
And like he's like losing and losing and losing, and then he goes, all right, I'm gonna turn it on.
Every conversation I have about playing pool always ends and me bringing up Uncle Phil hustler.
And then Guile's theme starts playing and he just annihilates him,
man.
So it, I don't know, really funny.
Sure.
Mega Drive sound hardware, well documented. It's the YM2612 FM chip, a beautiful thing, and that also includes PCM sampling for all of your Hadouken needs, and also the SN76489 chip, which was a PSG, which was used quite effectively for kind of square wave supplementary bits and bats of the track. So we're going to hear Guile's theme and also Vega's theme from the Special Champion Edition of Street Fighter 2 on the Sega Mega Drive. Okay, we just heard Guile's theme and Vega's theme from the 1993 Special Champion Edition of Street Fighter 2 on the Mega Drive, the Sega Mega Drive, or Genesis, if you must.
If you must.
So overall, like, the sounds on these pieces are very good, like FM sounds. I mean, there's clearly been a lot of, you know, time and thought expended on getting those sounds right. You know, it's not too grating. It's,
definitely.
Everything cuts through really nice against each other.
I mean, you gotta imagine, like, Capcom will have been overseeing these ports directly and have had a much bigger budget with the install base of those systems as well, like Mega Drive and the Super Nintendo as well. So that's probably why they sound a notch above the other versions.
Oh, absolutely.
Part of the reason.
I think so, yeah. So, I mean, excellent, well-balanced mixes. And very faithful to the CPS1, I guess. You know, it sounds rather a lot like the original arcade versions, which you can check out for yourself on the Brave Wave reissue, as we mentioned earlier.
Mm.
Now, Vega was probably my second favourite character to play as.
Yeah.
So I had to get a bit of Vega on there.
He's a flashy man.
Very flashy, yeah.
He only wears that mask so because he doesn't want to scar his beautiful face.
That's true.
Yeah, it's not an identity thing.
A very vain man.
Yeah.
Again, quite damning that my favourite characters were Ken and Vega. Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Arrogant and vain. Well, there you go. I don't know. It's fine.
It can be a virtue.
In Street Fighter 2, it is.
Exactly, yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that theme, it's very brisk. You know, it's high tempo and it's got the kind of skipping, like, you know, rhythms in the lead. I don't know, it suits him.
Definitely.
It suits how he fights.
Is Vega supposed to be, like, a matador?
He definitely encompasses the trope of the matador, and he has, like, the red, you know, cloth-like attached to him. I think his fighting style is actually supposed to have more in common with ninjutsu.
Yeah.
It's
the
like
Spanish
sort of,
ninja.
Yeah, the Spanish ninja. yeah. That's his thing, which is a absolutely fantastic idea for a character. I don't know where they came up with that, but
did we ever cover the name changes? I mean, probably most people all know.
We haven't mentioned them, yeah.
But yeah, so all of the names, like, not all of the names, three of the names of, like, the villain characters were switched around for the international releases.
Yes.
Originally in Japan, Balrog, the boxer, was M. Bison.
Mm.
Obviously a play on Mike Tyson, and for legal reasons, released it in the West, we should probably change this.
Very wise.
So, so Vega, the guy in red, who is known as M. Bison here, in the West.
Mm.
Yeah, he used to be called Vega in Japan. Vega was Balrog, so the flamboyant matador character was Balrog in Japan.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Vega
so suits
him.
Around. Vega works.
Yeah. So, since we've covered that version on the Mega Drive, we should go into the new Challengers version, which came the following year, 1994, on the Mega Drive. Now, we've heard, like, some new Challengers stuff on the SNES. Let's have a listen to how the Mega Drive handled it. We're going to hear Kami's theme. We'll be right back. That was Kami's theme from the Mega Drive version of Super Street Fighter 2, The New Challengers. What'd you make of that one?
Well, it's pretty cool, pretty cool. Kami's a pretty great character.
Great character, yes.
She's, I would say, out of the Street Fighter 2 characters, she'd probably be the main one I'd play as the most often.
Mm.
Other than Ryu, of course.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Ryu's, you know, people often give people shit for playing as Ryu.
But
he's solid. I mean, like, I mean, the whole game's based around him. But yeah, you know, Kami's got some great moves. I think the theme tune, a theme song is, you know, not the most upbeat, happy, go-lucky kind of theme. But I think that speaks to her character a lot as well.
I think so.
She's had a rough past, Kami.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, imagine going out with M-Bison, right?
Yeah. You'd have a lot of money, I guess.
Well, true.
But imagine going out with him knowing that you're going to be used as a vessel for him to transfer his consciousness
to. Holy smokes.
You don't want that.
The Street Fighter canon's just alarming at best.
Yeah. There's some odd stuff in there.
Very odd.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's obviously a fantastic composition. Like, another, you know, real burner of a piece of music. This particular port... I wanted to play it against the previous two Mega Drive tracks because it's such a marked difference in terms of the sounds. Like,
absolutely.
The FM synthesis is kind of a bit tinny and whiny at times on certain instruments, and the mix is a bit ropey. Like, I've actually had to, like, master this or do some kind of, you know, quick and nasty mastering job on that track just to get it sounding like it sounds.
Right.
It's, you know, that was a rip from a ROM, I guess, but it's really not the best sounding version of the track, but... It just goes to show, like, you know, with a careful ear, you can make some pretty special, like, you know, well-balanced mixes on the Mega Drive. But if you're just, like, kind of churning something out, then perhaps not.
Sure.
That said, I mean, I don't know exactly how this would have worked with the development of the game, but they packed a lot of stuff onto that cartridge for the new challenges, like more characters, more graphics, like a lot of stuff. So I feel as though... with that compromised, like, cartridge capacity, you know, some of the PCM samples would have been a bit weaker, and maybe the music took a hit just to make the game happen.
It's possible. Yeah.
I mean, again, another, you know, massive arcade success on the CPS2, so they're going to want to get those four new characters on the consoles, right?
Yeah.
Undoubtedly.
Of course, man. Kami's been in pretty much every game since then, I think, right? Except three, but barely anyone was in three.
Okay.
You know, her popularity, especially, I would say, out of the new challenges, is endured, definitely.
And Street Fighter V, she's popular there as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think in the competitive scene, she gets wrecked, like, all the time. Like, I don't think... I mean, Street Fighter V will be an ongoing thing where they'll continue to make balances and adjustments, like, just like with any big competitive game.
Yeah.
And I think she's not faring too well in the competitive scene.
I see.
But people still love it, you know.
This is the thing, how, you know, preferences change in the competitive scene, because... you know, there is still a competitive scene for Street Fighter 2.
Yeah,
incredibly, totally. Which just speaks volumes about the longevity of the game.
I mean, it's not unique to Street Fighter in Japan, but, like, the arcades in Japan full of Street Fighter 2 machines still.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got all the modern stuff as well. There's actually no arcade version of 5 out yet. I don't think there's actually one planned, but, you know, there's plenty of Street Fighter 4 arcade machines and stuff like that, but, I mean, tons of Street Fighter 2 machines
everywhere.
Available, yeah.
Sort of the ultimate version of that is, like, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, which we were playing before, and you were playing as Kami, as it happens.
Yeah, that's right.
Pretty handily, I would say. And, I mean, I've been reading up on the competitive scene for this game, and, like, real money changes hands sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
It's sort of a bit like esports, but, like, retro esports or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. At the big EVO tournament, which is kind of, it is esports, it was on ESPN in America recently. Apparently, like, the hotels around that event are just kind of packed full of rooms with people setting up consoles and playing real mini games.
Wow.
And, like, all the ports of Street Fighter and stuff, which is pretty cool.
I need to get over there, man.
Yeah.
I need to get over there, make some money.
Yeah.
All right, let's go into a real oddity or curio, whatever you want to call it. Let's go into the Sega Master System version.
This is the bottom of the barrel that we are
alluding
to at the start of the show.
But it's worth hearing, I think.
Of course.
So, I mean, there are many striking things about this version.
The
fact that it exists. But, I mean, I don't know if you already know this, but can you hazard a guess what year this was released on the Sega Master System?
I looked at the show notes, so I'd be faking the guess, but... 1996?
97.
97?
1997. Oh my god. This was released in 97, so... I mean, that's incredible anyway. But it was released...
the same year as Final Fantasy VII.
Right.
if you think about its contemporaries.
Night and day, right? Yeah. Night and day. It was published by Tectoy, who were responsible for releasing Sega stuff in Brazil, basically. This Master System version was only available in Brazil. And consists of 8 characters, including 3 bosses, so certain characters were omitted from this particular version. There's no Dalsim or Vega, for instance. I don't know about this version. I think we sort of need to hear it because it's a real curiosity.
Yeah, we got you. That's true.
Sega Master System has the SN76489 chip, which is also present in the Sega Mega Drive. And we have some music design credits here, who are responsible for interpreting the original Yoko Shimomura compositions. We have Tadashi Juokage and Setsuo Yamamoto, and we're going to hear Chun-Li's stage and Dalsim's stage from the Sega Master System version of Street Fighter 2. Just heard Chun-Li's stage and Dalsim's stage from the Sega Master System version of Street Fighter 2. Not my favourite version of this soundtrack.
Really?
Not my favourite version.
That's not how I feel at all.
So, I mean, this isn't like me being snide towards the Master System, because I like Master System games, fine. Hey, you know, like, there are some good ones.
Master System was the first console I ever played.
No way.
Yeah. Huh. Like, my earliest memories of playing games are playing Psycho Fox. Right. Alex Kidd, Afterburner, Paperboy, and the port of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Nice.
It wasn't a port, it was a whole different version.
Yeah, it kind of was, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, Yuzo Koshiro composed the first Sonic game on Master System.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he did.
Cool.
You can get good music.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I'm saying, like, hey, something spoke to me back then, because I'm still playing games today.
Yeah, well, there you go. Like, so again, you know, it might seem a little bit gratuitous and over the top to cover Street Fighter 2 on the Sega Master System, considering the shaky music, but the simple fact is, for thousands of people, this would have been the port of choice.
Yeah.
You know, given the Master System's popularity in Brazil, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there it is. Like, it's, I don't know, they probably could have done better than that. Maybe it was like a rushed thing, and I've seen gameplay of it on YouTube. Maybe I'll just bite the bullet and get the ROM and play it myself.
Why not?
It's not a total train wreck.
No, you know, better than the one that we played today.
C64? Oh, it's better than the C64 version. It's like somewhat recognizable as Street Fighter 2.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of a significant achievement that it exists on that console at all.
Sure.
So
definitely.
It's just the music can and should be better. I mean, it's admittedly it's four channels, like three square waves and one noise channel. Sure. So we're not talking about like FM or anything.
I think it goes back to what we were saying before, though, about like, I mean, you know, the Genesis, Mega Drive, SNES versions had bigger budgets behind them. You know, maybe this was just some intern at Capcom had an afternoon to make the soundtrack. You know,
right, those,
you know,
those that, two dudes, yeah,
for like a couple of thousand people in Brazil, like, gotta go where the money goes, unfortunately.
So as an indicator of just, you know, the sheer extent of this barrel scraping, that Dalsim theme we just heard was actually unused in the game because he wasn't in the game in the end. You know,
he
wasn't one of the characters. I guess that was what it was. You know, they put a version of his music on there, and then just didn't take it off the ROM. I guess like.
Yeah.
So, you know, the melody, like, it's recognisable as Dalsim's theme, but it really does go around the houses. It's, I don't know, man. It wouldn't inspire me to yoga fire Blanca into submission.
Not at all.
There it is. You've heard it now. So, let's move on. That's the super obscure. We're going to go to something a little less obscure and a 1995 version of Street Fighter 2, which was released on the Game Boy. So, you know, another 8-bit version, I guess, and our first and only handheld version of this show. We're going to hear Blanca's theme and Sagat's theme from the Game Boy version of Street Fighter 2.
Okay.
Blanca's theme and Sagat's theme from the Nintendo Game Boy version of Street Fighter 2. and I love those.
Yeah, really great versions. Like,
yes.
Game Boy soundtracks in general, pretty banging.
Punchy.
Great sound and system, for sure.
Sure is. I mean, you know, both the sounds themselves, like, you know, individually, and the way they're arranged against each other, mm-hmm. you know, unmistakably Street Fighter 2.
Absolutely.
Which you can't say the same on the Master System version. I mean, we're talking about a 4-channel chip.
Yeah.
4 channels, like, on a handheld, producing that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't help but be impressed by that.
I mean, you played the battle theme from Pokemon last week, right?
I did,
Also, there's loads of great examples of Game Boy soundtracks. I mean, mm-hmm. Link's Awakening.
Yeah,
course.
Great soundtrack there.
Sounds
too.
Sounds amazing. Loads of great stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No doubt. And, you know, as a result, like, endearingly popular with, you know, chiptune artists, you know, with things
sure.
like LSDJ, like, being, mm-hmm. You know, widely used. Like, you know, 4 channels, you know, on the face of it, you think, well...
I played with someone who had used a Game Boy a few weeks ago. Ewan
Lin. Ewan Lin.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah,
was great.
Shout out Ewan Lin.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're listening, Ewan.
Yeah. it was
nice.
Awesome.
He's a good dude. Listen to some Ewan Lin music. Yeah, it's I don't know, very, very, very effective sound chip.
Yeah, definitely.
So, with these particular tracks, like, Blanka's theme has some interesting, like, stereo panning going on. If you're listening to this show on headphones or earphones or whatever,
sure.
it'll be evident, I guess.
Almost like a little call and response thing with the lead.
Kind
melody,
of.
Yeah.
It's just the way, like, you know, the square wave voices, I think, kind of go hard left and hard right and give you a kind of almost like, Beatles-esque sort of, like, thing going on where, you know, John's in one room, Paul's in the other sort of thing, mm-hmm. you know. And Sagat's theme incorporates...
I think that might have been the first time Blanka's theme was described as Beatles-esque.
Yeah.
There we go.
You're not going to get that from any other podcast, man. Sagat's theme, you know, there's like a really crafty, like, delay effect going on in one of the voices, like towards the end of the loop, I think, where two voices are playing the same tune, but one plays slightly after.
Mm.
So, I mean, with that and the stereo thing that goes on throughout the soundtrack, you know, I feel like, you know, to implement such effects is... you know, astonishing, like, you know, 4 channels and coming out
sure.
with a really full and convincing sounds with a little bit of trickery.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. This is a good
stuff.
Port. It's really nice. So we're just about done, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've really gone to town on Street Fighter 2 with
sure.
many different versions. We're going to be closing the show with some more ending tunes, as promised.
Seems appropriate.
I think so. We'll be going to the CPS2, the Capcom Play System arcade board, which was the new challenges introduced on that one. And this is from the Definitive Collection released by Brave Wave. Remastered from the CPS2 board, which uses Q Sound, which is a kind of pseudo surround sound sort of effect.
Okay.
I understand, listening to the Brave Wave podcast, this took a lot of faffing around to get the Q Sound effect right without it malfunctioning and things. So, you know, hats off to Brave Wave for making this soundtrack happen. It's a real achievement. We're going to hear a couple of ending themes. Before we get into those, would you like to... I don't know, got any plugs, John? Any shout-outs or anything?
Yeah, sure. So me and my brother do a podcast kind of every week. We've missed the past couple of weeks because he's been on holiday and that kind of thing. It's the Pre-Alpha Podcast. You can find that at prealphapodcast.com. You can follow me, JohnIsCool88, on Twitter.
JohnIsCool88.
Yeah, so the reason that I have that name is when I got my PS3, I had to make up an account name for it. And I was like, I'm never going to play games online. I don't care about any of this. So the first thing that came to mind that wasn't my just regular name.
Yeah.
Put it in.
Maybe you should be a Ken player, John.
Like, yeah. There was a bit of arrogance there. And then I just got locked into it for life.
Hey, I don't mind it. It's fine.
I got really into trophies, like, and achievements and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
John is cool 88.
Yeah.
And the podcast
is
the Pre-Alpha Podcast, which
yeah.
is available on iTunes as well.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And much like this one, Forever Sound version
nice
is also
segue.
Available. On- yeah. Not quite. But yeah, it's true, we're on iTunes, so by all means, subscribe to these shows. I want to give just a shout to Brian and James at Pixelated Audio, another video game music podcast. Probably my favourite one, if I'm allowed to have favourites. It's a really good show, kind of long-running at this point. Also want to thank Rob and Purnell at Rhythm and Pixels for the shout-out on their show. That was very, very kind. That's another fantastic show that's definitely worth your time. Rhythm and Pixels, pair of funny dudes. They play some great music. Give them a listen. As for this show, you can subscribe to this show and leave me a review if you like on the iTunes store. Just look for Forever Sound Version on there. You can email me foreversoundversion@gmail.com. You can listen to this show again on Mixcloud if you like, mixcloud.com/foreversoundversion. You can follow this show on Facebook, facebook.com/foreversoundversion. Or you can be my friend on Twitter at FSVpodcast. And that's all of our plugs, I think.
That's quite a few options.
That's quite a few options. You know, you have to cast the net wide, you know. Sure. Cast the net wide, maximum. So we're going to go with CPS2, the new challenges, Vega's Ending and DJ's Ending.
Sure.
Vega's Ending is very Vega. Very, very, very Vega.
I think I know this one.
Yeah, it's playing as he admires himself in his mansion. It's perfect. Again, absolutely pitch perfect music for the
absolutely.
Ending. Similarly, DJ's Ending is brilliant too. It's the his ending music is ostensibly the result of the inspiration he got from taking part in the tournament. DJ being a musician, and the whole point of him fighting was to get inspired to make a new hit.
Sure.
And then
you need to do some living before you can.
Well, exactly. You need to, you know, beat the tiger uppercut, you know, and then then you're going to have some jams.
Or just
jams.
Take the tiger uppercut, either well, way.
Yes, indeed, man. There's no escape from the tiger uppercut.
Our great art comes from suffering.
That's too scary, but true. So that's a fantastic tune. We're going to be closing with DJ's Ending. First, here's Vega's Ending. Thanks a lot for listening. This has been a lot of fun, John.
Yeah, it's been great.
Thank you for coming on this show.
Let's go home and be family, man.
Let's go home and be family, man. Indeed. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Hopefully we'll have you back at some point, right?
Absolutely,
We'll figure something out, won't we?
If you want me back.
Absolutely, yeah. How could I not? We'll play some more Street Fighter 2 and, you know, get practicing.
Yeah. Let's do it.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Take care.
See ya.